this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
And you win it, the new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? The Ole Gunnar Solskjaer farewell tour, sir, plays on. This was the rubber match of the tour. Big point. I don't know. It wasn't very convincing, but we'll take it, I guess, when you look at the group standings for the Champions League Group F. How you feeling? You feeling convinced? You feeling like Ole's earned himself another couple of lives?
Sir, you've been under the weather. I don't know if that's clouding your vision. You know, CR7 baby, last minute winner. That was a huge point. Anything but Europa League, sir. I'm not going back to Thursday nights. I can't do it this year. I need a year off at least. Anything to get there. The boys fought. It wasn't pretty again. Disorganized again. We can get into all of that, but hell of a result. And what a player. Cristiano Ronaldo, where would we be without him in this side? He has come back. Sir, he came home and he is paying dividends for Manchester United at the moment. It's exactly the lifeline we needed at the exact right time. Sir, it's Champions League. I said we'd win it. That was my prediction. That was my hot take coming into the season. It's still alive. Villarreal away. Obviously, the derby before that, sir. Lots of things going on at Manchester United at the moment, but you got to love that winner. You got to love not going back to Hans and Franz.
Sir, we didn't win. We tied. But it felt like a win because after getting that point, we were top of the group. Sorry, it's like this group is like a confederacy of dunces. It's like everyone's just like, come on, United, be first. You can be first. You can keep dropping poison. You'll be first. But you the storyline you picked up on, that's first and foremost. It's like, where would we be without CR7 bailing this team out? Oh, by the way, where would we be in this game without Eric Bailly bailing us out? We would have probably gotten lit up if Eric Bailly didn't have a game. I don't even know what to say, sir. The farewell tour continues. The lack of, the reasons we've been critical continue. Today's game, the same thing. Subs made late, strange subs, players that should be hooked, weren't hooked. But individual greatness saves this team once again. Seen this movie before. And also one manager in the universe that was available is no longer available, sir. How does that change the decision-making board? They don't seem that worried, sir. They're not making a decision anytime soon.
Sir, the farewell tour is extended to May, sir. As long as Ole makes top four, he's good as gold. I mean, look, for me, the whole Ole in, Ole out, it doesn't matter. Right, people online are just like tearing their heads off. It's hysterical. The fan base is going nuts, and at this point, you just gotta laugh because Ole's got like 35 lives, and he pulls it out in every which way. Like the team could be like so disorganized, clueless from a tactical perspective, and somehow pull out the result he needs to stay. And you know what? It's a results-based game, sir. We harp on that week in, week out. Ole beat Tottenham. He drew Atalanta, which is exactly what we needed to make it viable for us to go on in the group. Like I said, big game against Villarreal, sir. And you can bet the house, sir. I'm going to take a mortgage, bet it all on us to beat City because you know it's happening. There's just no way it's not. It's good. It won't look pretty, but we'll do it. Ronaldo with a hattie or something in like the 85th minute. He'll score in the 85th, 88th. 91st, we'll win it. Easy. Only sold his soul to the devil. Like, it's going to happen. Like, bet the house. Get on board the train right now, sir. I'm telling you. You can't bet against it.
I think we're just losing our collective minds. I think that's it. I just think, like, you're calling a win. I'll tell you what, that was the least convincing performance I've ever seen against a team that could have beaten us handily. If it wasn't for a couple of players having big time performances,
they didn't.
We're up above by a point in the easiest group in the Champions League, sir. It's a damning indictment of the team, of the squad. We're not that good.
No, the problem is like,
who's got confidence in this team, sir?
Okay,
who's got confidence?
Have you ever? I'm looking for analogies here. You know, I'm grabbing at straws. Like the American Red Devils, it's been a hell of a ride. This season, and we're shooting you as straight as we can. There's like the most spoiled kid on the block who got like the best Christmas presents. It might have been you, sir, growing up. I don't know. You know, and it's like Manchester United fans, we're the most spoiled kids. We got everything, all the trophies we wanted, the trebles, back to back, three in a row. You heard it all. And now we're just like, we can't, if the manager wins and he doesn't play the right way, everyone's upset. And if we don't win everything now, everyone's upset. And so we're just going to whinge. It's just all whinging. That's all people are doing. And you got to laugh because at the end of the day, Ole, he should have been fired after Liverpool. The board isn't doing anything. The board doesn't even care. And all these fans are just like up in arms. And you just got to accept the fact he's here. He's here to stay. The only viable guy, like literally for this season to do a patchwork job, he got hired. Like Ole is here for the rest of the year.
Today. He got hired today.
Yeah. And arguably the only time that he could get dismissed would be like in March if top four is mathematically out. And then Carrick will be the manager for the rest of the year. So this season isn't something to be like, we again, all the fans are so spoiled. They're like holding this club to the highest standard. LVG doesn't play the way we want, right? Won the FA Cup. Mourinho doesn't play the way we want. Won the EFL. Won the Europa League. Ole plays the way we want sometimes and doesn't win anything. So, you know, it's like the Goldilocks, the porridge, too hot, too cold. Look, this is what, sir, 20 more years of this. That's all I got to say. It took Liverpool 30 to get it back. We're on that same train. So you might as well start enjoying it and then whinge, because the whinging train, it's going to be a long season. If it's only November and everyone's this pissed off, it's just going to continue. And Ole's going to prove the haters wrong, because it's the only thing he knows how to do. And I'll just grin and smile the whole way.
What if he doesn't? You know, I think we've talked about it a lot. The rot starts at the top. The reason this club is treading water at best is because of its ownership, lack of intent in the transfer market, and just having a front office that's competent and able to pull off whatever it takes in order to be a premier, an elite football institution, which I hate to say it, we ain't no more. We just ain't. We're not running like one. We're run by a bunch of numpties who get outclassed by Daniel Levy, sir. Daniel Levy had a good week. He made a move faster than our board did.
No, but that's red meat. You have to understand.
No, of course it is. I'm not saying Conte is the move, sir.
Like transfers are red meat. They don't matter as it relates to the trophy cabinet. Antonio Conte is just red meat. Like, Nuno isn't good. You fire him. It saves face for Daniel Levy. He looks good. What if Conte's fired in, like, May? Conte could go in May. It could blow up. It could go bad, right? You don't know. No one can predict the future. So in some regards, Manchester United assembled an amazing squad. That's really the core problem with all of this, is that we have a really great team that should be set up in a certain way and should be organized to play in a certain way. And that team should be capable of like challenging for this league, the Champions League, and other trophies. And in the current state of the organization of this team on the field, that is not possible. Top four is in question. So that's really where the debate is. It's looking at the talent we have and how that talent isn't performing, and even playing defensively is insane. You sign Sancho, you have Greenwood, you have so many attackers, and you're going to throw on Bailly. I have questions around that, because this team, from a DOF perspective, director of football, set up to attack, not defend. We don't have defenders. Our defenders are made of glass. They're going down.
Sir, we had no plan. We had no idea what we're doing. Manager instills no confidence, right? I understand red meat, but like, okay, you have to have other options on the table. You have to be open-eyed about the fact that like this manager might not be the guy. I feel like we've talked about that enough. This today's result changes nothing. If anything, it cements the fact that like he ain't the guy. But are the board going to move unless it becomes abundantly clear we're not going to finish in the top four, or we're going to lose out on the next round of Champions League? I don't know what it takes for them to move, sir. You think we're going to pull out a result this weekend? I am not confident. Today was more of the same. You know, like we pulled out a back three against a Atalanta side that's probably not as good as Spurs, given the squad. Obviously, you're playing away. That's one thing we did play in London. You know, what fans have they got? Not many.
But it's a results-based game.
Yeah, the results.
That's what it's all about. And here's the thing. They said he's got three games. He beat Tottenham convincingly away, 3-0. You can't pull punches from that, right? So, like, for some reason, his job, the board decided, hey, your job's on the line, Tottenham, Atalanta away, and the derby. Beat Tottenham, got a big point away, maybe at the death, maybe we played, like, terrible, sir. I'll give that to you. It's a results-based game, and it don't matter, because that he's good. There's, if you look at the team, who are you going to hire? So I understand, like, you seem to be on the, like, he's got to go. He ain't going anywhere, sir. Who is going to come in? That's the point. And nobody. Who are they going to hire?
Find someone.
I'm available.
You're not a good option. They should not hire you. I would not hire John from American Devils. Number one. Number two, numpty behind me. Sir, they need to figure it out, because at the end of the day, you and I should not be pontificating about who the right choice is. We just know that this guy ain't the guy, and we appreciate what he's done for us, but like the progress we've made under Ole has stopped. It has stopped. He got signings that he asked for. Maybe didn't get all of them, but you know what? We'll never know because he's protecting the board, which isn't his fault. But at the end of the day, it's like we've gotten worse than we looked last year, and we have a better squad. So somebody's got to blame, sir.
You took the bait. You're taking the bait. This is like, I'm trying to have a conversation. Like, Alex is so fired up about this that, like, even off the pod, he won't talk to me about Manchester United. That's how fired up you are. And sort of the pod is spicy. Look, I get it. Internet's spicy, social spicy, everything around this team. But can't we just, like, take it easy here and just say, look, accept the fact, whether or not it's right or wrong, Ole's going nowhere for the rest of the season, and just get behind the lats. Because that's really what's happening. And so, you know, the phases of grief, anger, denial. I'm on acceptance. Like, he's here. Woodward's here. Glazers are here. Like, the press giving him softball questions on the Glazer payroll and the pressers is here. Like, it is what it is. And I'm going to cheer on the lads. And sometimes this is a tough watch. But getting results like this feels good. You can't let them take that away from you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I agree about everything on the board, but on watching the game, watching Ronaldo score the winner.
He didn't win. You kept saying the winner. It wasn't a winner, bro. We tied it.
A point away at Atalanta is a win in our group. It was scrappy away win. Scrappy away draws in Europe under Sir Alex were always critical for qualifying in a group stage. Sir Alex was not the best at it. Even then, you know what I'm saying? So you can't overstate how important a point is. That's why I'm calling it a win for United. It is a win for this team. Technically not a win, sir, a drop, but it's a big point. I can't just like want to come in with a narrative about the manager, because that is a result. 2-2, getting that point. We're not going to go to Europa League. Now, there's also the other
side. We can still go to Europa League.
There's the other side of the coin where Ole could just like bring you to the last game and then kill you, young boys at home. Yeah, that's possible too.
Yeah.
But sir, you in these moments, Ole's down and out, right? He's a United legend. He's hurting. This team's hurting. Something's wrong. They're at sea in a storm. And you hope that storm clears. You hope somehow they can get to the derby. Play some semblance of good football, maybe lose if it's close, just not a Liverpool embarrassing situation, and then somehow try to shore up shop over international break again, right? And then kick on from there, because Ole's not going anywhere. He is not going anywhere. Whether he deserves a job or not, he will have this job.
That's what
I'm trying to say, is I'm hoping that this ship, which is kind of rickety, I agree, like Atalanta, we look sloppy and disorganized. I hope they can eventually figure out how to play organized football together under this manager. Now, if that never happens, then you know, FML, right? That's just
Who's the denial, bro? Me or you? I think you might be the denial. You're still hoping on this team to figure it out? I hope I am. I'm rooting for this team just like you are. I just don't see it. I see us getting worse. I see us getting more desperate. Like, decisions made today were like, what? You know, some of them made sense, but like 86 minute, you're making double subs with attacking players when you've been down. You've been down for 30 minutes. So we should get into this game. But I'm with you. I'm just like, I think I'm like post acceptance. I'm just in depression. So there's like depression mode, no, where it's like this team, dude. No, we're gonna suck.
You're still like,
we're gonna keep like, dude.
The board should bring in a manager, man. And it's like, there is no manager, and the board ain't bringing one in.
There is a manager, but it's like this board ain't finding that manager. Who? Or it doesn't. I don't know the manager. Anyone. It could be anyone. It could be a theoretical Joe Schmo, and whoever that person is won't be brought in, is what you're trying to say. They're not making a move on Ole anytime soon. His 3-game tenure, the farewell tour isn't even, the original tour dates are not even completed. So, like, I think you're assuming we're going to get a result against City. We could get smoked against City. We could lose 3-0. What happens then?
Yeah, but the board have no backbone and they don't care. I think this is the whole point, is it always should turn to Glazers out. Hashtag Glazers out, sir. That's what it's all about here. Because the board just, they're trying to make top four. And as long as Ole makes them top four, like right now, you have to get your head around the fact that we are in a race for top four. And I've accepted it. I'm like, looking at that fourth spot, we got to get it. That is a win for us. You want to talk about wins? Fourth spot is a win for Manchester United this season. And that's how I'm thinking. And Ole's at the wheel. Fourth spot, baby, let's go. And that's how you have to be thinking right now. You got to get over the title, sir. You didn't get exactly what you wanted for Christmas. I'm sorry Santa didn't hook you up, but that's just the way it is. We're going for fourth. Let's go.
So that's not why I'm depressed. I'm depressed because I don't even think we can make it fourth. You know, I don't care about, dude, not winning this year, whatever, dude. I want to just be in a race, and we're not even going to be in the race. That's fine. Okay. We still got Champions League to play for. We still have FA Cup to play for. But right now, like, I don't think we're playing better than West Ham. Or like Arsenal on the up, you know, Tottenham just got a new manager.
Yeah, but you don't have to play good with Ole to win. That's the key. Okay, that's what you're not realizing. All right. It's like, do you get that? We played horrible today. We got a point.
We played horrible
against Villarreal. We won. Like, you don't have to play well with Ole ball to win. And that's part of the game, which is, it's about winning at the end of the day, sir. We're losing our minds here at the American Red Devils. I hope you guys can relate. Quick PSA for the podcast. You like this pod and you like to hear the biased fan take from the couch, you can check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We'll give away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. It's the best way you can support the podcast directly because we do not have any ads on our podcast. Also, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Great fan-generated blog content there, as well as some merchandise. If you click on store, our new American Devils badge logo t-shirts are up. We got beanies, hoodies on the way, and obviously our scarves that we make every single season. Sir, tell about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews are a great way to support the pod, and they don't cost any money at all. And they help us, the American Red Devils, get found organically by other fans like you. This is what you got to do. Write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it has cheeky banner, even better. We love it. It makes our day when we see that. And send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some swag, some American Red Devils swag straight to your door. Great way to support the pod, and it goes a long way. It's absolutely free, sir. Get into this match. Denial FC, sir. That's our new nickname. 9 lives. I don't even know where we are. I don't even know the cycle of doubt, but anyway, tell me about this game. We played great.
Sir, I need the music.
I'm coming. Here we go.
Yeah.
Sir, this theme song is what it's all about. This is all I care about this season as a United fan. Manchester United, if we make it to the knockout stages and we qualify for Champions League next year, we're going to make our own trophy here at the American Red Devils. That counts, sir. That counts.
Is that the Ole Cup? the Ole Confederations Cup?
I think it's the Arsenal Cup.
The Glazer, sir. Cup. It's a Glazer FC top four bus, baby. That's the new normal.
I just can't go back to Hans and Franz. They're calling me, sir. I got like five missed calls, a few texts from them. They're like, hey, I'm setting up shop. Let me come into the pot room, get the DJ equipment set up. That's right. We're talking Champions League night, sir. Atalanta versus Manchester United, sir. We all know how this one ended. 2-2. It was the draw. Match day 4 in Group F. Let's get in that starting lineup. Dave Says, world number one in net. Luke Shaw, left back. At the back three? Maguire, Bai, Varane, Wan-Bissaka on the right. McTominay, Fernandes, Pogba midfield. Ronaldo and Rashford up top. What'd you make of that lineup, sir? I was surprised at the back three. Atalanta, they're like the Italian leads. They should be open. I thought we should have been going at them with a 4-2-3-1 from the jump. What were your thoughts?
I mean, I guess the philosophy is it worked on Saturday and will work on Tuesday. I had some questions, you know, back three. I thought he'd go for that, but I figured he'd play a little bit more adventurous midfield scene. Pogba was good. I like the front two of Ronaldo and Rashford, but I was hoping like, hey, maybe a Telles. Hey, maybe a Matic and Pogba, maybe a Donny and Pogba. Yeah, right. So I had some question marks. What did you think, sir?
I'll tell you, Pogba looked like he was trying to get Ole fired.
His return to the Yagba. I'll tell you what, Yagba was back. That was a Yagba performance.
He was like trying to put it in our own net. I was like, oh my God, Paul Pogba, like you're playing your hand here. Sir, let's get into the first half. You want to take us through?
Yeah, might as well. United didn't look super confident playing on the back, sir. Surprise, surprise. Actually, somehow, fifth minute, it was an early chance for United. McTominay's effort was deflected and actually hit the post after United broke. But that was a false dot, sir. It wouldn't take long. 12th minute, the Italian side had their say early.
Zapata. Worrying Wan-Bissaka. Ilicic! He smashed it through to her! And Atalanta!
Sir, what's a back three for if you can't even defend that, sir? That's like brutal. You watch that, you're like, look at all the defenders. And goal. I got nothing. What do you got?
By bit, Shaw, like, easily should be covering that and just, like, dropped way too deep. Like, he was playing left back, not wing back. And then you got that shot that Dave should have saved. And you're looking at a team. Yeah. I mean, it's damning, sir. I mean, this goal in this spot with this on the line is scary. You know, that's kind of when you're, you know, this is the glass half empty stuff where you're seeing these type of mistakes. Just, it's brutal. This is a brutal goal in a brutal spot. But you know what? We kicked on 20th minute. Ronaldo with a great chance. I mean, he was the bright spot. Rashford kind of nowhere to be found, unfortunately, Marcus. I thought he would tear up their back line here. 31st minute, Bai, probably man of the match. Where's he been? You know, Lindelof, undroppable. Eric Bai comes in. So many goal line clearances. He's all over the pitch. Exactly what we need. You know, it's almost by Varane right now, center back pairing to start.
I mean, it's someone else. I mean, there's so much damning. It's hard to not make it about Ole because there were so many things today that were like, where's Bai been, bro? Where's Donny been, bro? He came on literally like had a really good chance the last 6 minutes of the game, involved in the goal. First half, sir, this was no confidence. What else would make you go down in confidence? 38th minute. Greenwood came on for an injured Varane. There goes the back three. We're playing a back four. Let's go, baby.
Sir, let's get to the moment of brilliance. 46th minute.
Sir, United looking good at the end of the first half. Who else would it be? CR7.
Not where you want to be. Into four stoppage time minutes. McTominay. United need a mood changer here. Bruno Fernandes.
Cristiano Ronaldo in here for Fernandes. Ronaldo! The magic man does his thing again.
Sorry, he's different level. CR7 is an elite player, one of the goats of goats, and for good reason. This team. And, you know, a nice bit of play at the end of the first half, to be fair, but what a great letoff for Bruno Fernandes, all through him and Ronaldo. Great goal. Ronaldo's like, I ain't playing no Europa League music yet. No Hansa Franz, save me.
Putting the team and the manager on his back, bro. Like, Ronaldo is literally like, I ain't letting nobody bring me down a peg, dude. Like, we are going into the knockout stages. Like, Bruno, sir, assist of the season. I mean, the vision, just like that pass is phenomenal. World-class link up from Ronaldo and Bruno. You know, that's so special. Having these two be on our team. Bruno's kind of didn't have the best game, but, you know, you do something like that, you know, we'll take it.
You better game than Paul Pogba. Paul Pogba had a terrible game. One of the worst games I've ever seen as a Manchester United player. That's not the point. The point is Bruno's been bailing us out for a long time, sir. Ronaldo's hopping on the bailout city. I'll bail you out. I'll raise you one Portuguese bailing us out left, right, and center. Here's a second Portuguese bail. Those two together, the last 2 years, unbelievable. But good way to mark the first half, which was a pretty poor half from United. But, hey, you went in tied, probably more than we deserve. How'd you feel going in?
I felt great. I was like, look, you don't play. You know, with this group of players, sir, you have to say, hey, we didn't play a great first half, but we're in 1-1. We have players that can make a difference, like Sancho on the bench. There's a lot of players we got. That bench is stacked now. Like, we can literally go at them. And with Villarreal winning their game, like, live, I kind of felt like this is a game we have to go and try to win here in the second half. And unfortunately, more of the same. 48th minute, Bruno had a great chance in the box, but it was blocked. 50th minute, Greenwood hit the post, but he was offsides. And sir, Zapata was all over the board. I mean, you want to talk about number nine? We're looking for one when Cavani and Ronaldo sunset. I mean, he was the heart, the runs he was making, like, unbelievable. He fought all game. You knew it was coming. 57th minute.
Sorry, you let it myself. Here we go. 57th minute.
Palomino. Over the top here for Duvan Zapata, who scores! Only for the flag to go up.
Sir, I'll save you a long to-do. Nice goal. Nice goal. It was initially ruled offside, and it was correctly overturned by VAR, onside. Nice finish. Maguire, speaking of a stinker, he had a stinker today. Did not look good. United not looking good. Once again, we came out with decent intent in the second half. You mentioned those chances, but all of a sudden it's like you get broken and we just look out of sorts.
And this is the scariest part of the match right here. You know, the next 20-something minutes, nothing from United.
Nothing.
Double sub in the 68th minute. Matic and Cavani for Pogba and Rashford. Atalanta miss a free header. We're down 2-1. And this is kind of where, you know, if you want to look at the psychology of it, it's like huge spot. You look at if we lose this game and Villarreal win, then we have to, it's a must win in Villarreal almost as far as the outcomes. I was literally calculating them at halftime. Such an important game here not to lose. You just can't lose this game. And then the effort we saw from these players, sir, through like the 87th minute until Donny and Sancho came on, it was piss poor. And it's like you're in that spot and you need something. And that's kind of where I kind of feel that whole, you know, the whole like, why do you get a new manager in? It's to get rid of that, you know, because it's like these players kind of feel heavy, wears the shirt a little bit. I just didn't see that fight, that urgency, where it's like they didn't realize the situation they're in. Like, we really need something here. And then Donny and Sancho came on and woke, and they woke up. And then I literally was about to tweet out, CR7, can he do it again, sir? Just play the goal.
Here we go, baby. 90 minutes plus one. Who else?
Run. Ronaldo. Van de Beek. Poked out to Ronaldo. Greenwood chuckling. Ronaldo! Oh, he wouldn't do it again. He surely hasn't done it again. He has just gone and done it again.
Sir, what a goal from CR7. Never say never again. You know the United's, you know the goal line's shifted, sir. We didn't grab the ball and run for the winner. We're celebrating the draw. How you feeling?
You're salty.
Salty, like, bro. Salty
Alex, I have honestly, Alex has been sick, like really sick. So again, I appreciate you doing the pod. Like I know you're under the weather, but you, I've got to say, I haven't heard you. You're salty. And it's coming. Sir, I'm like doing this remote and I'm like, I got some, I'm getting some salt in my eyes.
I'm getting some salt water splashed.
Like, oh my God. Like this guy is just like, look at him. You did get the best Christmas presents on the block, sir. I knew you. You were a little, you were spoiled as a youngster.
Sir, I was spoiled because I was a Manchester United fan from the years of 2004 exactly. to 2013. You know? That's why I'm spoiled. Because, dude, we experienced the best.
Hey, could be, there's a lot of teams you could be, and, you know.
Could be Sunderland.
Manchester United's a pretty good one.
It's a great one. I love this club. Love this team.
So it's like Ronaldo scores the winner, dude. That's, I am so pumped, dude. I'm not, okay, first of all.
Third time you said it scored the winner. He did not score the winner.
In my eyes, it's
I know. Clearly, in your eyes. Sorry, I got to be straight. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I deserve to be clapped back today on that comment, but you got to be. I love Ronaldo, sir. My favorite United players. He's back and he's playing lights out and he's saving us in these key spots. And like, I can't go back to Europa League and this is a huge goal. Huge result for this team, and I'm absolutely buzzing off of it, sir. And I hope that we can put together some semblance of some organized football at the weekend. And that's it, sir. You just gotta hope. You gotta hope that these guys figure it out because it's what we got. You know, like I said, acceptance. Trust me, it's frustrating, but if you once you accept it, you just cheer them on, sir. We're like a little. We're like the. You ever see the Little Giants?
Little Legend that could.
You know the movie Little Giants? Yeah, that's kind of how I feel right now. So, you know, I thought we were going to be this world-beating side winning, you know, the treble again. And now we're Little Giants, you know, kind of going against the grain here. Got a ragtag coaching crew and all these players. You know what? We're going to try our best, man. That's kind of where we're at. Stats-wise, shots on target, 4-4. Possession, we had 53% of the ball to their 47%. Not bad, sir. I mean, 13-10 on regular shots. I thought it was good. Good performance from Manchester United on the stat sheet. Match reaction, Ronaldo, he's leading the line, is the oldest player to score 2+ goals in a single game for Manchester United in European competition, setting all the records here. He's the first player to score in 4 consecutive UEFA Champions League appearances for Manchester United since Ruud van Nistelrooy in April 2003. Sir, we all remember Ruud. He was an absolute beast. And only Norwich and Leicester have conceded more goals in all competitions amongst Premier League sides this season than Manchester United. And that is a very big problem, sir. That's the one thing. I can see how you're adding these stats here. This is the salty stats.
I'm just relevant stats.
Manchester United have failed to keep a clean sheet in 14 of the last 15 UEFA Champions League games. All right, I hear you. Since RB Leipzig. And since making his Manchester United debut, Bruno Fernandes has been directly involved in more goals in all competitions than any other Premier League player. 44 goals, 33 assists, 77 in total. Unbelievable, sir. Let's just quick recap on the group, sir. We are top of the table. How can you be complaining about top of the table? How are you salty? We're top of group F with 2 games left, and one of them is Young Boys at home. Answer me this. Riddle me this,
sir. I think this team is good enough. I'm not whinging, bro. I'm just calling it straight. I'm like, this team is probably good enough to win the Europa League this year. It's full of confidence. We got world beaters, sir. I think we can finally take the trophy down to Gdansk this year. Villarreal again. We're going to play Villarreal again. Probably not. Someone better. Someone worse. Sir, I see this team as you see it. You know, we're a Europa League side.
We're top of our group. We're not a Europa League side. That's the point I'm saying. It's like we're going to go on to the knockout stage. We're going to win the group.
Maybe. Sir, we got 2 big games left. We'll see.
Villarreal, Atalanta next. You know? Villarreal, Atalanta, Young Boys. Then we play Villarreal, and then we play Young Boys, and then Villarreal play Atalanta. So,
how did our 2 games go against Young Boys and then Villarreal?
sir, we beat Villarreal, and I bet you it will be reverse. I bet you will lose to Villarreal, beat Young Boys, and we might not win the group, but we'll go through. And that's like, that's all we need.
That's it,
sir. The game's not going to be played till February, so we got time. We got time to figure it out. You know, and so we're still in the competition. You get what I'm saying? It's like,
no, this is a big result.
Just surviving this rocky patch and not going to Europa League now is like so critical, because like, you got to survive these rocky patches no matter what happens. If Ole can survive this, sir, we might be playing Ole's at the wheel and going crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you survive the lowest low, there's only one way to go, dude, right?
You're absolutely right. You know, we're not playing well. I question some of the decisions being made. But like you said, there's a big opportunity on Saturday. Prove me wrong. Prove a lot of the fans wrong. Magic beans, we got any left? We're going to find out, sir. You think Ole's confident sitting there for that big point? Like a Cheshire cat, just like you?
Sir, I'm eating magic beans for breakfast every goddamn day. Bet in the house. Let's hear from the man himself.
Here we go, buddy. You ready? Let's go.
Take your questions on the game. We'll start with Simon Peach. Well, I've unmuted. Ollie, another big win. Another big result secured by Cristiano at the end of the Champions League. But you'll know that is it fair to say there's room for plenty of improvements after tonight?
You know, The point here tonight is very important. I've said, if you win your home games and you get a result or two away from home, you'll go through. And the attitude to never give in was there. You cannot question the attitude. Of course, first half, I thought we were a bit too sloppy. Gifted them a few too many transitions and turnovers. But the goal was excellent, the first one. And, of course, we did create some openings. Could have scored more. The two goals they had, very, very tight calls for offside. I'm sure the first one should be off as he blocks David's view. And the second one is just fine margins. But so, very pleased with the point.
Andrew Mitten.
Hi, Ollie.
Hi, Andy.
Can I ask about the support that you receive from the fans? Because results in the last month haven't always gone to plan. And yet, at every single game, the fans, and it happened here tonight, they're singing your name. Has anyone actually come up to you and had an issue or doubts about the result? I mean, have you gone to put petrol in your car or something and someone said that they're not happy with you and they think it might be right to change it? Because at the matches at Tottenham on Saturday, it's almost non-stop.
No, you know.
Hold on a second, sir.
The UEFA Champions League is back.
When you say this, it'll probably come now. But I haven't. I've had so many people coming up to me and giving us support. And of course, both home and away, you do feel that support for the team. And me personally, that's it's a great feeling. I've had it since I played. So, and they know they know that all we want is for the team and the club to do well. So, I do appreciate it, and it makes you humble, of course, and you want to do your best.
Sorry, sir. I wanted to hear Ole's response to Andy Mitten's, you know, absolute curveball of a question about how much he's adored by the United fans and how they never stop singing his name. And have you gotten, you know, any blowback from fans, like in person, sir? What's your take on that one?
We're famously blocked by Andy Mitten on Twitter. I think a few years ago, Ed Woodward only did an exclusive interview with him on the United We Stand fanzine. And he didn't ask him like any questions about like the financials or like, you know, it was just like a puff piece getting the Ed Woodward propaganda out, you know? And I just questioned like, how could you sit down with Ed Woodward and not ask him about the balance sheet and why they're taking so much cash out of the club, and like, you know, ask him critical, hard hitting questions, like, you know, title of journalist, you know, shouldn't be, I don't think journalists should be doing favors for, you know, billionaire owners to make them look good in the press. But
you know, that question there is coming from somewhere. And that's where these pressers really are. You know, they even embargoed part of the press conference before the Tottenham match. And those were like all the difficult questions. And they only released this easy ones earlier to make it look better. They're pulling a lot of strings from a PR perspective. Look, I get it. You know, I just would think that Ole kind of deserves some tough questions right now about why he's playing the way he is. It's like, it looks desperate. You're abandoning, like, you have a director of football, you sign all these attacking players. Now you're just like throwing everything at this other, very defensive style. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, why can't you get them to play with a back four? Like, why can't you do that? I think there should be some tougher questions Ole should have to answer for, but sir, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're not going to get him. He's not going to get him.
Oh, it's a good microcosm for probably how the board likes to do business, sir. They don't want questions.
Exactly.
They don't want, like, they don't want their CEO to be like, hey man, you should probably like not do this. Like, this would put the club in like a precarious position around dividends, et cetera, decision making. Sir, this is like part and parcel for the United way at the moment under the Glazer ownership. It's like they don't want questions.
Favors
because
for access. Favors for access. Like,
that's it.
We started doing this podcast and being like, well, do we want to go hard in on the owners? Like, what if, you know, our podcast becomes popular one day, which, you know, never will be. But, you know, no, we want to speak the truth. Right. And I think, obviously, I don't make my living off this, so I can have the flexibility to say what we think about the club. And I think, obviously, if you're in that position where you have access and you have to worry about politics, then, yeah, your questions are going to be a little bit softball and you're going to play that game. And can you really hate people for playing that game? I guess not. But I guess, and also in England, the press is a little different. It's a lot more of that. It's more politics as it relates to sports. You don't get much hard hitting. You know, some journalists were on the Glazers thing and the financials before they all hopped on when it became popular with the Glazers out movement.
And then hopped off.
Hopped on. And then that now they hopped off. So, you know, I don't have high hopes for these press conferences, sir. They're all kind of theater anyway. Anytime you're watching manager press conferences, like, remember when Mourinho was melting down, we were all watching the pressers. It's a sign of bad times. So, you know, just don't watch the pressers.
Yeah, we were playing well. You know, pressers were a non-incident. When your team is falling
exactly.
apart,
yeah.
That's when everyone's watching pressers, sir. So I'm with you. Yeah, I only played that out because you had alluded to it when we got started, that like Andy Mitten threw like a peach of a question, and like that is.
But how can you ask that question now? It should be literally about like
look around. I mean, they ask it because they have no shame, and they have no shame because they think the fans are a bunch of morons, and they're just like, well, you know, we could just ask.
Like, should you have brought on the attackers earlier? Those are the questions I want to hear. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I want to hear like actual like, you know, why isn't Donny Van de Beek getting playing time? He looked good in this game and get help, you know, stuff like that. I think more critical lack of rotation. Why are you switching the formation all of a sudden now? Like, are you really out of ideas? Like, it looks like you are, you know, like, but they want to keep it high level, and that's fine. You know, it is what it is, sir. At this point, like I said, acceptance, you got to accept your Ole's just going to get propped up softball Ed Woody questions, and he's going to be at the wheel, and we're just going to have to cheer them on the rest of the season. And speaking of cheering them on, we got a next match. We got Manchester United versus Manchester City at home, Old Trafford, sir. We always play great at home. Last time we played at home, the Scouse Bastards blew 5 past us. Early wake up, but I'll take it. 5:30 a.m. Pacific on Saturday, November 6th, 8:30 a.m. Eastern. Game week 11, sir. Tottenham was a rough one for me emotionally. Felt good about Atalanta. I'm feeling pumped about Man City. I'm back, baby. I'm back. You know, this whole like, why won't they sack him thing? I'm over it. I'm fully behind the lads. I think you can't get up for a derby at home, then I don't know what is wrong with this team, because this is going to be a big match. Pep coming for it. Nole has 99 lives,
99 problems, but the sack ain't one.
Exactly. That's a good
he's one. Got 99 problems of getting fired.
99
isn't one of them.
Lives.
He's got a shit ton of lives, more than 9, but tell you what, this is just another Liverpool, you know, They're going to come in. They're probably not playing in quite as good a form as the Scots.
They're not.
They're playing in pretty good form. They're still good. They're a really good team. So this is a big test, sir. I'm with you. I'm rooting for this team for better or worse. I know the headwinds we face. I know the lack of leadership up top, but I'm going to root just like any other Muppet fan because I'm number one Muppet alongside you.
So yeah. I'm trying, you know.
We're trying.
I'm honestly. Look, this team, this talent begs for organization. Like, the fact that you don't have an organized, well-drilled team that works hard every single match and can, like, you can outplay people, impose your will, and exploit them in spaces and use the talent. Like, Jadon Sancho, the problem is not Jadon Sancho. The problem is not Jadon Sancho. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you look at the triangles that they set up at Dortmund for him on the wing and how he's able to get inside and, like, his pace is unbelievable. And it's like, the problem is, sir, you know it. And it's like, I want that. I want to see that. I don't want to see this. I don't see. We played the back three and looked like Slop Shop FC, dude. Atalanta working all over the pitch. They got way more heart, dude. We look like Soft Serve FC. It's like, I don't like it. But you gotta take the result when you get it, you know? It's just like, I want the other thing, but we ain't getting it for Christmas this year, sir. So you just got to put on your list for the Santa, the Glazers. You got to ask the Glazers for the manager that organizes everyone well next year.
I'll just take a result. City, let's start with City. You know what? Like, assuming or expecting the board to act competently is a bridge too far for any, you know, fan that doesn't want to just destroy themselves. So it's like, hey, just worry about the next game. I'm rooting for this team.
Exactly.
City, back three, baby. Let's go. Counter team, pull out Dan James. He's ready to go, right, sir? Dan James. Unleash Dan James.
You don't get rid of Dan James. You want to play this.
So we got Ronaldo. You know what I'm saying? That's how the only way they were able to sign Ronaldo is they had to free up the wage space with how much Dan James was taking up.
No, but if you want to go with wingbacks, there is a serious argument for this fixture that Dan James will be playing at right wingback because he's good at tracking back and he has rapid pace. And if you're going to play this style, you do not get rid of Dan James. And that's a great point. Looking at you, Murtaugh, just taking notes here. And this is kind of what shows you how everything's like kind of unravels. You look at like Raphael Varane. He's injured at France, not ready until shitty. They rush him back and he falls down on the pitch the same way he did for France. Most likely with the same injury, sir, rushing him back. Harry Maguire rushed back. He's looked horrible.
Marcus Rashford played with a broken back. I know, but this is, you're doing what I was doing at the beginning of the podcast, which is like you're talking about all the things that like are damning indictments of the club and the manager. And yeah, I can give you more. You want to keep going?
No, but those
How about Ahmad Diallo and Facundo Pellistri that were signed? Ahmad might play. Facundo will never play for this team, right? It's like, and then they signed Jadon Sancho, who's like the hottest right winger on the planet. He doesn't even play, sir. So it's like this club has so out of sorts. What the hell is going on? They got Varane to play a certain type of style, and then we played a back three today with Varane. So it's like, you have questions. I got questions.
But Varane, here's the thing. The Varane error is that we look like a different team with him in the back line. He is so confident on the ball. He takes off the pressure. The midfield, everyone looks so afraid to get on the ball in that position, and Varane is just silky. Like, ain't worried about it. He, like, opens up space. He's unbelievable. And to lose him is like, sir, like I said, we're going to be watching this team. And without Varane for this game, that is probably the biggest, that's probably the biggest thing that concerns me is no Varane. Obviously it's not confirmed, but coming off in the 38th minute, it does look like it. But our biggest hope is City's coming in shaky. Their last four, they beat Bruges 5-1, battered Brighton 4-1, and Brighton are playing well. They went to the EFL Cup pens with West Ham. They lost on penalties, and then they lost to Crystal Palace 2-0. They had a red card, sir. They play Bruges tomorrow. We will have an extra day of rest, so there is a little bit of daylight for Manchester United here. As far as results in the Manchester Derby, sir, last time we beat them 2-0 at the Empty Head in March 2001. Sir, you remember that. We actually really needed that result. We drew them at Old Trafford last time they were here, then beat them 2-0, then 2-1 away, and then City beat us 2-0 at Old Trafford. I believe Otamendi scored in that game. Don't really like him. But, sir, we have had their number lately, and Ole has had Pep's number.
I mean, in the last five, was that 3 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss?
It's pretty good.
You're not betting your house?
It's pretty good for a, we'll go to the odds in a second, so that's what's going to motivate you to put a wager on this game. But he has had some results, you know? He has had some results against Pep. He's had his number multiple times. He needs to have his number on Saturday because he needs a result. We need a result. This is a big game because if you look at the race for top four, sir, the race for number four, this is a big one. You know, we're on 17 points. They're on 20. I know they have their goal differential is like plus 14. I think we're like negative one. But big game at home. I think we need to like have a little bit of revenge for just the Liverpool result at home a week earlier. That was only a week. Holy crap. And changes,
that's what I'm saying.
Like, it's unbelievable, been, sir. Unbelievable.
Sir, I was there.
That was brutal. I'll tell you what, that was brutal. It can't be worse.
That's why you're salty. That's why you're salty, because you went to the Liverpool match. That's
you don't know how bad it was, sir. You weren't there.
You flew 11
I've
hours.
It. I've seen
got on a train, went to Manchester, stayed at the Lowry. Like, I know. That's why you're extra salty. Now I know. I figured it out, sir. Sherlock Holmes over here. History on shitty, they were Ardwick Association Football Club. And then after we changed their name to Manchester United, they changed it to Manchester City to copy us. Match fixing scandal all the way back in the day. If you listen to our history podcast, we do talk about that. And then the Abu Dhabi royal family decided to buy them. Again, nation states coming to football. Who would have thought? And, they've won a few things. Not the Champions League, sir. You know, they really arguably have only stolen one title from us. That it was a rough one. That makes me sad thinking about. But this season, they have no number nine. They're kind of up and down all around, sir. They play the 4-3-3, Ederson and Net. Kyle Walker, Ruben Diaz, Laporte, Cancelo, backline, De Bruyne, Rodri, Bernardo Silva, midfield three, and Jesus, Foden, and Grealish up top. They signed the Cavs that you so adore, sir. Jack Grealish, man shitty in the shitty blue. You hate to see it. Physioroom.com, Paul Pogba suspended. He's got two more games. Lindelof has a knock. You know he's the Iceman, but he's made of glass, sir. What is your lineup given those injuries?
Sir, I'm hopeful that Varane makes it back. Could be completely wrong, but we'll see. This is what I'm going
for. He went down. He doesn't look so good.
De Gea, AWB. I'm doing a back three. Varane, Bailly, Maguire. And I guess it could be Lindelof instead of Varane. Guess it could be Phil Jones instead of Varane. We'll find out. Shaw on the left back. It's gonna have to be McFred. Who else? You kidding me? There's no way there'll be any other midfield duo than McFred for City at home. I'll bet that. Bruno, Greenwood, Rashford. Take Ronaldo comes off the bench. What do you got, sir?
All right. I'm gonna say Dave saves world number one in net. You gotta play the back four here. I think based on center backs being injured, you could play the back three with Shaw and then Telus. But I think you just got to go toe to toe, just like we did against the Scouse Bastards, sir. Dave saves in net, Wan-Bissaka, Bailly, Maguire, Shaw. We're going McFred with cheese, Bruno, Cavani, Greenwood, and Rashford, sir. Got to be competitive. You got to be competent. That's what I'm looking for. That I'm looking for a competent level of organization. I'm looking for effort and heart that meets the level of and deserves and is what a Manchester Derby deserves, sir. That's what I need. Booking the bookies. You bet your house on Manchester United to win this game. You get 3.6 houses back, plus 360, the draw plus 290, and City shitty or heavy favorites minus 135, sir. Given those are the odds, what is your score prediction here? You gotta call it against Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and his magic beans.
I'm not magic beans, they're like shrimp bucks, they just keep growing. So I think he pulls out 9 lives plus 10. We win 1-0. Ronaldo penalty. There you go. Clean sheet. Back three. Phil Jones bails us out. What do you got, sir?
You know what? You are very clairvoyant. The penalty has not been involved in many of the matches. Although the Bridge Trolls in Italy were trying to conjure one today. You saw that. They were really going at the ref.
They were.
Handball. I'll say 2-1 United. Ronaldo's brace. I mean, I'm just riding Ronaldo until the wheels fall off. Can't bench him. Unbenchable. Sir, we need this game. Ole, like I said, 99 problems. But the sack ain't one. And I think he pulls us out.
Sir, I'm just having too much fun today. You know,
you sound like you're feeling better.
Sir, I'm not feeling better. You just make me feel better. Your optimism just makes me feel better. It was like beginning, you were like, hey, we're doing great. And then all of a sudden the truth comes out and then you're back. It's like, I got 99 problems, but a sack ain't one.
That should be it. It should be like, you ain't sacking me no matter how horrible we play. Baby, let's go.
You want to get some news?
United in the news. Let's go. United in the news. Sir, Spurs. Why are Spurs in our news? This is Manchester United in the news. You put Spurs news in here?
Tell.
Antonio Conte signed a deal until 2023 with the option to extend. Look, Conte was the guy if you wanted to sack Ole at Liverpool and then bring in someone for this season. You know, like have him try to turn around this season specifically. And he went to Tottenham. What does that tell you? It tells you a few things. You got to read the tea leaves. Look, United did not want Conte. You also can't argue with that. Conte's like a Mourinho guy.
Totally.
Like, you know, he would yell at the players. You know, he said, like, famously, what do you say? I'll kill a player if he doesn't have the right attitude or something like that. Like, yeah, maybe Soft Serve FC needs a little Conte. You know what I'm saying? But you know how this goes with Mourinho. Either Spurs is going to like go great or it's going to melt down like hard. And so from the board's perspective, Zidane doesn't want the job. Poch is locked in at PSG. Ten Hag ain't going anywhere. You can't get Brendan Rodgers till the end of the year. So any viable replacement other than like this loose cannon, isn't available until the end of the year, and they decided no Conte, and then yeah, you stick with Ole, and then their bet is made based on if Ole can get top four. But looking at how good Ronaldo is, you have to think like even Ole can get top four with this guy. That's how the board is thinking, and this move tells you a lot about it. Spurs is going to be all fired up. All their fans are going to be all fired up, just like you know they Spurs were complaining about Harry Kane. Spurs, whatever, dude. It's like this could go horrible for them. It could go great. Most likely it goes horrible, just like Mourinho. Remember how buzzing they were about
they
Mourinho?
They were pumped, sir. They were very pumped.
Exactly. Just like we were really pumped that we signed Jadon Sancho and Ronaldo and Varane. Now it's going to win us the title. Yeah, we're a bunch of Muppets. So like sometimes the hype train gets ahead of actual results. So this one, you know where the board stands in Ole. He's here to stay. And Conte, good luck. Spurs, you know. But, you know, the counter is, okay, there's a really good coach. He has a great CV. And now you have more competition for top four. That's the counter argument.
Yeah, a team that is going to be fighting for fourth place, like we are now intent to do, have a better manager than they did a week ago. You know, the team we beat had a one coach. Now they have a different coach who, like you said, it could go two different ways. It's only two different ways. Either they're like, all of a sudden you're getting the best out of Harry Kane, or it's like more a Harry Kane. Because if we're Soft Serve FC, sir, I don't even know what they are. They're melted because, like, Harry Kane, that team is toothless. But, hey, could go a couple of different ways. But like you said, it more tells you about, like, what the board's intent are. Maybe it was they didn't like Conte. But maybe it's just like, hey, we think Ole's going to be the guy to get us to the recalibrated promised land, which is top four or bust, baby. There you go. But Conte's off the market. And Zidane, the next piece of news, right, he's holding out for the France job, thinks there's a chance of that. So those are your top two managers on the block, and both are kind of taken. So what do we do? I guess it's only the 2nd of November, so we're going to run it out till May. It sounds like that's the plan.
You know what? It makes sense, right? If you think about it, because who could have predicted it? No one could have predicted it being like looking this bad, this early. right? You would at least think, okay, after last season, we would do better with the additions. It's kind of confusing to me how everything's kind of falling apart. You know, like we played very well last year, leaked too many goals, but we signed Varane. You think that would shore up shop. We signed better attackers. And for some reason, there's something going on that maybe it's behind the scenes. Who knows what it is with the dressing room? Anytime you add a big name like Ronaldo, it's going to take a while for everything to settle. But, you know, it's like Ole has a better bench and he's not using it. Something's off with this team. And there's probably a good reason. And we aren't privy to that information.
I'm privy to that.
You read on the line about, oh, it's so horrible or it's so bad, it's probably none of that. And there's probably a good reason for this. But, you know, it's perplexing to me how, you know, Ole, we played well last season. How can you not integrate these players and continue to play well? Or is there just like drama with Donnie and drama with Jaden and drama with Jesse and Pogba's on his last year? They're kind of stinking things up. And then I don't know. I'm speculating, like, what could cause this kerfuffle?
The Europa League final in Gdansk. Like, that was the moment where it's like, is this team going to win silverware? Is this manager going to win silverware? He bottled that game. The team bottled it. And I'm blaming the manager first, but the team also is to blame. We looked toothless. And that was it. It was like we strengthened, but like, I don't know. The old manager didn't learn nothing. He didn't learn nothing. He's more of the same mistakes. He's repeating those. And that was, sir, you said it best. You often do. You said the time to fire Ole was after that final. That's when it's like, Jesus, you couldn't win against that team with the team you already had even before the three additions you talked about. And now it's just more of the same, sir. It's like more bad decisions. And I'm not upset about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer because you make a lot of good points. And you did at the beginning of this pie, which is like, it's not his fault he's left in this position to like hang out in a lurch, but here we are. And I think that is the defining moment. It's like the team lost confidence probably in their manager after that result. They saw some bad decisions, right? Fred coming on first sub 94th minute. That's one of them. So I think like that was the defining moment the last 6 months that kind of predestined Ole's the end of it, which is like this is the beginning of the end, whether it ends on Saturday or it ends 6 months from now in May. I think that was the defining moment. Was like that you had to win it. We didn't win it, and ever since then, it's like I think he's lost confidence in himself, and I think the players have lost confidence in him.
Yeah, that was probably the start of something. That's a great point. And you know what? It's just going to be the things with the 99 problems, but the sack game one. Who knows how it's going to go? You know, because they might. I think they should just keep leaking. They're going to sack him in the press because they'll just get these results every time. And you know what? That ain't a bad strategy either, because all, like I said, it went from winning trophies this year to avoiding Hans and Franz like the plague. That's all I care. That's honestly, this season is a transition year. It's just about like, let's hope we can organize, survive this rough patch, back the lads. You got to back Ole to try to figure it out, you know, because it has. Undeniably, it's been rough for sure, but you got to back the lads, back the team, and just say, hey, we're on this ride. Let's enjoy it, because this is what Manchester United is now. You know, I like modern football would suggest that you need more managers more often. And what concerns me is like, I look at that roster and it's like, you only got 2 years of Ronaldo and you're going to burn one of them making top four. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I kind of think the urgency should be there based on the roster we have. We should be going for something, but the poor don't seem to mind.
The urgency is there.
We find ourselves. Yeah.
You nailed it, dude. You nailed it again. And that's like, here's the thing. We talk about the Zidane news. If Zidane was available, would they have moved on Zidane? Probably. Probably. I think they actually would have. He was like, yes, please, I'll take it. And everything that comes with it, they would have moved on him. The fact that like there are two options that they had in their head. One was a no because Conte's not a fit. He's going to be another Mourinho. Zidane's the number one choice. He says, nah, no thanks. Sir, the urgency's there, dude. I'm with you 100%. It's like Pogba's leaving on a free. Donnie's going to leave. His replacement's going to leave. Bruno is not signing a new contract, fellas and ladies that do listen. It's like he ain't signed a new contract. He hasn't yet. Why is that continuing to linger? Because that man cares about one thing and one thing only, and the same thing that Ronaldo cares about, that's winning stuff. And it's like, he's not going to play in a club where he's not guaranteed to win stuff, compete for stuff. So I think that's a big reason why Bruno hasn't signed his contract yet.
Well, Ed Woodward is still here and all these problems continue. Exactly. And this is really on him. If you really think about it, the guy who tried to, the mastermind behind the Super League, when it blew up in his face, resigned, and he's still here, like, fucking this club up till this day.
Yep.
And it's just like, he's the fucking problem, man. The buck fucking stops with him. Obviously, it's the board, but I mean, he's got his fingers on the pulse in this club. He's appointing Murtaugh. He's the one doing all this shit. And it's like, at the end of the day, like, he's bumbling, fumbling, rumbling, stumbling to the fucking finish line of whatever the fuck his resignation year is. His, like, Ferris Bueller's Day Off fucking year he's got here. And he's going to fuck it up until the day he leaves and is numpty. He's going to be calling him for advice on how to fuck it up going forward. And that lies on the board. But Ed Woodward and all this is just, it's a fucking mess. If you, how about the board communicate with the fucking fans?
They said they would.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. How about they start saying, like, yo, Ole's the guy at the end of the year. Like, how about you say it? How about, like, instead it's just like rumored through the press. Like, how about you actually talk to the fans and say what your vision for the club is, or if there's a long-term view and Ole's the guy and you want to get him support and help him out, like, go for it. Like, do something, say something, do something. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a little bit of the Wizard of Oz, or like behind the curtain, the emperor has no clothes, whatever you want to call it. Let's get into the fan questions. We'll try to give you an even split here on kind of where everyone's coming off of this game. At Jared United, you had one of the some great tweets this week, I'm going to say, at Jared United. We really appreciate those. The farewell tour shirt that we need to make. I really appreciate that tweet. A draw that felt like a loss. Soft serve ice cream served up by Ole. No matter. Nothing's going to stop CR7 from getting us to the group stage. Hashtag Ole farewell tour, sir. Jared, the shirt isn't big enough to fit all the farewell tour dates on it, but we might have to make it at the end of the day. At Jog RMA 326, surprised with the switch straight back to the 4-2-3-1 after Varane went down. Why didn't we do what we did last year when we played this formation? Move Shaw into left center back and put Telus out at left wing back. We look better with extra defensive coverage. I was surprised with that move too. I actually thought Shaw would drop in, but for some reason, Telus is out of form with Ole. Maybe he's on the naughty list this year.
He's seen a lot of people on the naughty list, sir. And I think the mistake that astute listener is doing is that they're asking rational questions that have rational answers. It's like, of course, I don't know. Why did he bring on the two offensive players in the 87th minute when he had been losing for 20 minutes? So I don't know.
Because the three at the back looked like shit.
Looked like shit.
And it's like, oh, well, that's the, this is like the one trick pony stuff when you're like, okay, let's play three at the back. Oh, we look great. Let's do it again. Oh no, we look like shit doing it. Okay, let's go back to the other way.
Mid first half.
But I'm telling you, like, that is, that's like a little window into like how desperate times it is on the sidelines. There is like literally throw everything in the kitchen sink, switch it up for no reason. That's a great point. And like, yeah, that was another signal. Like, what the hell is going on here? Like, you should come and play one way or play the other way. But as soon as you give up the goal with the back three, it's kind of like you got to go for the game, right? So at that point, we were down a goal. You bring on the extra attacker because you got to go for it. So, you know, maybe, and Ole got it right. He got it right. It was the right call, right? We got the goal shortly after that. Greenwood involved. At Norani Zulfi, quote, waited too late to make those Sancho Donny van de Beek substitutions. Again, where would we be without CR7? You said this as well, sir. What do you make of the late Sancho Donny van de Beek?
I mean, you know, it feels like cruel to like pile on anymore on Ole, but it's like, dude, I mean, you've done this before. Like, come on, too little too late, and you got bailed out by CR7. Should have made 20 minutes earlier, sir. He pulled off Rashford and Pogba and put on Matic. So we have like another defensive player instead of doing like for like. So it was just like all the subs were totally off, totally late. But what's new, sir? It's more of the same. Sir, 99 problems, baby. 99 problems with the SAC 8-1.
At Rolling Deep 1995, quote, absolutely livid, but absolutely entertained. We give up two shit goals and looked hopeless for the longest time. We create a couple of chances and Ronnie puts them away. We scrap through with a point, but I will take it. At Blaze underscore in, quote, Ronaldo keeps saving Ole and United. Where would we be without him, sir? Honestly, where would we be?
We probably have Antonio Conte as our manager. Probably, if you think about it, you know, how many points did he, how many points has he saved us this season already? He's only been, dude, freaking, he's been here for like 2 months home and he's had so many like goal, you know, tying goals or go ahead goals already. Dude, they're so
Villarreal,
this one, they're
Atalanta before, Atalanta now. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, it's unbelievable. We would be like last in the group. I think it was like 5 points. He saved us just his goals alone. At N Maybaugh 13, quote, lucky FC continues. We were shit and got bailed out again. So frustrated with this team. Don't have much more to add. And then at United Dondo, quote, Ronaldo is amazing. Wow. That wasn't even really a chance for anyone except him. Again, reminds me of the goal he scored against Spurs. Without him, Bruno and this team goes nowhere. We are really a poor side. It's getting difficult to watch. Almost guaranteed we go down 1-0 each game. Awful for my health. Like Roy Keane famously said, sir, looking for a positive one here. Looking for a positive. Okay, here we go. At Mike United and Mets. CR7 saving the day. That goal completely changes the complexion of the group and covers up a poor performance in Italy. Wow. Mike is even down on them. Let's carry some momentum into the derby. Back five at the weekend if Lindelof and Varane are injured? Question mark. Sure. What do you think? Back five with
back Telles, five ain't going Shaw. Nowhere, baby. That is part. That is like literally on the front of the t-shirt. The front of the t-shirt. It's like Ole's last chance saloon. Ole and the heartbreakers. No, Ole and the back three breaker. I'm losing it over here. Goddamn flu delirium. And we're breaking down this game going on 72 minutes. I think the fans know it. They're trying to be positive, but they're calling just like we're seeing it, bro. It's like this is just keeps happening in slow motion. And we're all rooting for City, but like, you know, part of it's a foregone conclusion. But hey, maybe we got some of those magic beans left. We're going to find out. So I can't wait. 5:30 a.m. Let's go. It should be earlier. So, yeah. Why isn't it a 4 a.m. game?
No, look. Thank you for everyone for the fan questions and thanks for everything and listening. I mean, this is a tough time. Like me and Alex are pulling no punches. Like we don't talk about this. We get on the pod, we start talking. Alex is fired up about it. And look, there's that view where people are mad at this team and it's the football doesn't look good and no one's going to defend that. But the 3-game farewell tour, we got a win and a draw and it's about the results. So, hey, I'm never rooting against Manchester United and Manchester Derby, bro. I hate shitty. Like, I think the players are good up for it. We cannot play as disorganized. Like, we played well-organized football against Tottenham. Today was a back to, like, the Scouse Bastards in Leicester City.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, today was back to the scrambled eggs. Cannot do that on Saturday. So, that's all I want to see. Lads fight for it. And, sir, we won't be embarrassed. Are you going to fly out for this game?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. I'm just hoping we show up. That's all. We don't have to win. I just don't want us to show up like we showed up against the Scousers, which is like we never did. And we never showed up for a minute of that game. So as long as we show up and we can still lose 3-0. I don't care. I just want us to play with some heart, you know, put on the line, act like you're a United side, even though you may not have the best manager and you definitely don't have the best board. It's just play with a little gumption like it means something to you. So I hope he picks an 11 that's going to put it all on the line, even if that means a Jesse Lingard and a Phil Jones, bro. It's just like, just go out there to play, make us proud, even if you don't win. Dude. There's a way to make us proud without winning. And what they've been doing, you know, we need more. I don't know. Like you said, 3 games, one was a win, one was a draw. The one before that was 5-0 against the most bitter rival. This is our second most bitter rival. This is a big one.
Woohoo! It's going to be exciting no matter what. No matter what, it's going to be exciting. 5:30 a.m. Sir, that's it. That's the podcast. America Devils, we're for fans by fans. If you couldn't hear, we're giving you that biased fan take from the couch. The emotion is raw. It is real. We actually do care this much about this team, sir. It is insane. This has been a tough last week, and you've been to the UK and back saying that. You want to support the podcast, check us out on Patreon. Also visit our website, www.americaredevils.com. Write a review on iTunes. It's free. Sir, give us our top cities for downloads last 7 days.
So these are the hardcores. Last 7 days, I don't care what you say. Best of the best. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Oslo, Norway. Appreciate you. Derby, UK. Lake Oswego, Oregon. I probably said Oswego wrong. Stoke-on-Trent, UK. New York, New York. Chicago, Illinois. Sydney, Australia. Brooklyn, New York. Los Angeles, California. And last but not least, Toronto, Canada. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out around the globe, sir. We couldn't do without them. Couldn't do without them. Let's go, baby. Darby. We're the best team in the world. 20 times, Man United, sir.
So we're going to batter them.
Batter them. Smoke them. 5-0.
Sir, last tangent of the pod. I walk in every morning, me and my wife go on a walk, and I, with my son and my dog, and I was singing Manchester United songs, and she gets really upset. She's like, you got to stop. She does not like me singing United songs because they're so catchy. They get into her head for the rest of the day.
Sir, we're busting out an oldie but a goodie.
Which one?
Kicking a Blue,
you gotta
baby.
Know these songs.
Kicking a Blue, baby.
You got to check out the website. We have a whole song section. The songs are so great. You got to check them out. I love singing them. Put you in a great mood. And that's why the fans are always singing, man, because it's a blast when you go to the games. Sir, leave us with the classic, Kicking a Blue.
Sir, United fans, American Red Devil fans, stay well. Big game. United never say die. This team has got it, baby. Come on. Last chance salute. Big, big game this weekend, sir. And like you said, we'll be kicking a Blue all the way to Saturday. As always.
Kicking a Blue.
Atta boy. Let's go.